Good morning. And welcome to all of you as we gather for this time of worship, and pray that God will bless our time together, both for those of us here in attendance and for those of you watching over Mevo. Just a word of thanks to Barb Clausen for playing for us today, and also for Amanda and Kana, who will be singing for us later in the service. Thanks to the congregation for the many items that were collected, also for the donations to the Ukraine. And we are still collecting items until April 24th, also for the You Belong ministry. And there's a collection bin in the fellowship hall for that. Are there any other announcements that anybody has that they would like to bring to our attention at this point? If not, then we will sing our opening hymn, Beneath the Cross of Jesus, verses 1 and 3. This is the third Sunday in Lent, and our first lesson for today is recorded in the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, beginning at verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant. My steadfast love, my sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that you do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Here ends the reading of our first lesson. The second lesson is recorded from St. Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were worse sinners than the Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree and still find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, then you can cut it down." This is the reading of our gospel for today. My dear friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus the Christ. Amen. As we worship together today, there's one heartfelt welcome that we need to bring out today, and a guest that has not been with us for some time, and that guest is Spring. We have missed you, Spring. It's been a long time. And we are hoping and praying that you will bring some warmth and sunshine to us in these coming days as the days lengthen. We know there will be speed bumps along the way. I understand that Wednesday may be one of those speed bumps coming along. But Spring, it's good to have you here, for it signals some good things for us, even though it takes time to ultimately come about. But there is a connection today between Lent and Spring. Both of Lent and Spring bring a new message, a message of new life to us. Let me explain a bit. The word Lent means to lengthen. To lengthen. It coincides with the spring season in our hemisphere of the world. Lent, to lengthen, and it is a message of spiritual renewal. Lent is always a time when there is introspection, and we can take a look at ourselves and where we are going and what we need to do to improve upon that life that God has given to us. Lent, it is a time of spiritual renewal. And spring. Spring is certainly a time of renewal, isn't it? It is a time when we hope and pray that those bulbs that we planted years ago or last fall or whenever it was, those bulbs will come alive. We are waiting for the new growth to, quote, spring up. Therefore, spring is a time of renewal for us, and the abundance of those colors of green that show up in the spring of the year are just vibrant. And so the two seasons, One brings us a message of new life spiritually, and the other brings us new life of that season about us as growth happens. Now, in our gospel for today, Jesus tells a parable of the fig tree. The fig tree was a favored tree in the land of Palestine. It was a favored tree in that land because it grew even in the poorest of soils. And when this lesson was given to us centuries ago, the soil in that land of Palestine was very poor. Little could grow there. But today in that land, if you were to go there, which I happen to have been there 3 times, with the proper supplements and the working of that soil, that desert has come alive. And it grows abundantly. But over the years, there was always one tree that stood out. One tree that was good from that first day until even now. And that is the fig tree. The fig tree's purpose was not for shade. It was not for the purposes of looking good, but for the purpose of bearing fruit. And that fruit, of course, the fig. And in the parable for today, that fig tree, that favorite of all trees, was not producing fruit. For 3 years it had not produced fruit. And the owner says, cut it down. Get rid of the tree. It's not producing fruit. Why take up the nutrients out of the soil? But the gardener says, give it one more year. And the owner relents. And there's a reprieve for the tree. Now, as we look at this parable, we are the tree. We are the fig tree. And we are to be bearing fruit. And the owner of the tree is God. And the gardener is Jesus. And at the end of that parable, we get another chance. That's what our God does for us. And the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you boil it down, is a message of second chances and more. Forgiveness and more. That's the message of the gospel. And so the message today out of this, God's hope and promise come to us abundantly today in this gospel. When we realize how many times we have all blown it, we have all blown it royally many times in life. We have not produced the fruit that we should. But our God comes to us and gives us another chance. He gives us an opportunity to produce fruit. Second chances. Now, we've all had a lot of second chances, haven't we? Times when an accident may have happened or did happen. Very fortunate to come out alive. I want to just have you think with me about some second chances. I was on Tuesday night this past. I wanted to watch a movie. I was tired of basketball. So I wanted to watch a movie. And so I checked the list that I had recorded, and there was a movie, a good movie. It's one that we have a copy of, but I had recorded it. And so I brought it up, and it's a wonderful feel-good story. The name is Seabiscuit. Seabiscuit, wonderful story. It's the story of second chances. First of all, for the horse. The horse had a badly injured leg, and the horse was to be put down, but was rescued by an over-the-hill trainer who came along and said, I'll take that horse. And through his patience and through his proper handling of the horse was able to bring it back to new life in its second chance. And obviously in bringing the horse back, he also brought himself back for another second chance. And then there was the jockey, Red. Red was not your prototype jockey. He was a little big. And yet he got another chance, and boy, did he take advantage of that chance. All because there was an owner who was patient. Patient with a horse, trainer, and jockey. And it paid off big. Want to then have just to tell you a little story about something that happened in my life. It was when I went off to college. I went to Augsburg College, or now it's known as Augsburg University in Minneapolis. I was going there to be a dentist. I was taking sciences, and I had a wonderful first year, freshman year in college. But the grades, not so much. I had learned in my freshman year in the dormitory from a fellow student, a fellow that had been a Marine. He learned hypnotism, and he taught me hypnotism. And I learned, and I could do hypnotism. And so night after night, we would have people coming into the room wanting me to hypnotize somebody. I could do that. And sometimes it would go into the early morning hours. And so instead of studying, we would do hypnotism. Now, I was not a partier, a hard partier kind of guy. So that wasn't the reason that I wasn't doing well. It was because of hypnotism. I wasn't doing well. Beginning of my second year, the college either said, shape up or ship out. You've got until middle of the year, basically. And so I knew all along, sciences were not my best thing. They weren't even close. And so I went from pre-dent into pre-theology. I changed my major, and I went to sociology for a major, philosophy for a minor, and I took Greek and all that kind of stuff. And the lights came on. And the grades really came up. And the rest is history, as they say. I got a second chance. And I'm thankful that God led me in that second chance. But now think with me about Scripture. The places where second chances come in so, so often. The prodigal son. Think about the prodigal son. He blew his father off. He took his rightful inheritance and he went into the far country. And there he blew everything. He had nothing. He was eating with the pigs. And he decided, I have to go home. And so he goes home to a waiting father with his arms wide open. Welcomes him home, gives him a party, a fatted calf. This my son was dead, is alive again. Wow. Prodigal son. Lots of us have been there. Think about Peter. How many times did Jesus give him a second chance and a third chance and more? And Peter became the rock. He was the original rock upon which Jesus built his church. In Matthew 18, Peter comes to Jesus. And he says to him, Lord, how many times am I required to forgive my neighbor when they sin against me? As many as seven times? Now, the norm in that day was go up to three. Peter not only doubled it, but he added a one for good measure. As many as seven times, says Peter. And Jesus simply said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. In other words, as many times as it takes, as many chances as is required, that's what we do. We don't cut it off at some kind of a number. And just think with me about that. If Jesus expects us, mortal human beings, to forgive 70 times 7, to give chance after chance, just think about how much more love the God of all love has for us. And how many times that God of all love will forgive us and give us another chance after we've failed time and time again. That's a lot of love that our God has for us. And then think about the ultimate gift our Lord gave us, and that is when he gave his life. And while hanging there between heaven and earth, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Another chance for those who pounded the nails in his hands and put his cross in an upright position. Another chance for those who drove the spear through his side. Father, forgive them. Another chance. And so, my friends, as new life and forgiveness and another chance comes to us again and again and again, we have opportunities to produce fruit. What does that mean? In Galatians 5, the Apostle Paul says, now the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit are these. I'm not going to give you any more about this, and just the words of the fruit of the Spirit. Let them flow over us. The fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. That's the fruit we are to bear, my friends, as God gives us chance after chance. One final thought. Nothing in this world that only takes can really do anything but simply survive. That includes fruit trees and that includes people. And don't we all want to give back, to make a difference, and to bear those wonderful fruit of the Spirit that is befitting forgiven sinners like you and me, so that we can make a difference in the world, big and small, and the world is better because we've been here. In our gospel today, thus we have the word of a second chance. is always God's way, ultimately, to give humankind another chance, and another, and another. God is infinitely kind and patient when we fall and when we fail, to pick us up, set us on our feet again, and to walk with us as we seek to bear the life-giving fruit of the Spirit. And so we say thank you, God, for your amazing grace that gives us all another chance. Amen. We sing our hymn, Amazing Grace. We'll sing the first four verses. Printed in your bulletin, would you join with me, please? O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. When I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, you may be seated. Thank you. Thank you, Amanda and Kana. It's so good to hear you sing. At this time, then, we bring our prayers to our God. We have some praise reports and also some concerns, some prayer requests. Praise reports, Holly asks for prayers for her family who have been ill with COVID and grateful, however, that they are on the mend. And Ingrid from our congregation is home after 2.5 months, and that is indeed something to be very, very grateful for. And in the concerns, we certainly remember the people of Ukraine, the awful things that are happening over there, and so our prayers go out to them. To Doug, who is continuing rehab, Sherry with continued health concerns, Kate, cancer treatments, Bob Schrader, health concerns, Isaiah, friend of the Volpes, who's facing surgery, and I want you to have, I will have offer prayers for my brother Richard, whose wife, Barb, died a few days ago. I will be returning to, going back to Minnesota immediately following this service, driving over to spend time with the family for a couple of days, hopefully getting back before the snow starts to come. Let us join our hearts in prayer. Gracious God, as we heard in the word today that we read, that was preached, you are a gracious God, full of mercy. You are a God who says to us, I will be with you always. And so, God, we especially bring these people before you today, whose names we have mentioned, Doug and Sherry, Kate, and Bob, and Isaiah. To my brother Richard, the death of his wife. Lord God, you know their needs. You know the specific situations of every one of them, whether it be recovering mentally and emotionally from a death, or from surgery, fighting cancer, whatever it might be. Lord God, you are the great physician, and you have said, I will be with you. I will place my hand on you. Peace be with you. And so, God, we offer up these people and ask you to bless and keep them in your care. And certainly, Heavenly Father, we ask for prayers for the people of Ukraine. We ask prayers for our world and for that part of the world specifically. Lord God, that somehow huge egos would not dominate the day, but rather common sense and some of those gifts of the Spirit that we talked about earlier. Peace, love, gentleness, self-control. Lord God, we lift up those people, those who have died and those who are struggling, those who are refugees, those who have been injured. Lord God, we simply place them all in your hands, the Creator of all things. Ask you to watch over and keep them in your eternal care. For Ingrid and Holly, who have good news, we pray, Lord God, that you will bless and keep them as well and continue to give strength. And so, Lord, for those prayers that are spoken and those that are unspoken, you know them all. You have promised that you will hear us. And so we ask you that you listen to our thoughts as we bear witness to your greatness and what you can do. We pray for all of this, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.